All right. Good morning, good morning. Good to see everybody, good to hear everybody. It's good to sense everybody. I can just sense the fellowship happening everywhere around us. So, I appreciated Stephen's sharing. I don't think he realized how much he made my son's day talking about Cabo Verde. Will you guys ever do any of those, like, try to predict, you know, March Madness, like pick all the brackets? So Will's trying to pick the bracket of the World Cup, and his winner, he's declared, that's going to win the World Cup is Cabo Verde. So he's pretty excited about them. So good to be with you this morning. There's a number of things I wanted to do before we jumped into some more of the Timothys. One is just to rejoice and to celebrate with some big things that have been happening in people's lives. As a body, we don't want to just go, that's kind of interesting. But to live out Romans 12:15 and rejoice with those who rejoice. And two things I was thinking of specifically this morning, just to rejoice first with the Freemans as they got to have a daughter married yesterday in a really fun way. Did they end up using the trebuchet at all?
No.
Okay. My hope was they were going to use the trebuchet for the bouquet toss. So, yeah. So very fun. Rejoice with you guys in that, gaining a son-in-law. Also, celebrating just with Autumn, she just had an amazing week, and she got to go up to Minneapolis and win some medals at Special Olympics, and we are so proud of you, Autumn. Look at all these medals. Good job. We are very proud of you. And then did just want to give a chance, if anybody that was part of the debriefing training this weekend wanted to get a chance to just share, what we'd like to do is just be able as a body to work through those things. What is God moving in those things? We had about 40 people come together to be trained in how to help others be debriefed. In short, debriefing is a way to walk through lament, a way to understand how to grieve through parts of our lives that have been very challenging. And it requires us to slow down, requires us to be still, requires us to just invite the Lord near and all the really hard things. So if there's anybody that was in the training that wanted to share what they took away, things that were encouraging, could be things generally, could be things about them, their lives, anything like that, just want to give a chance since many of us were part of that.
Really silly. I had asked him to watch my kids. I didn't need her to do that. I could have watched my own kids.
I'm glad you got to have that gift of that time. So, well, is there any more? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and one of the last things that Pat was sharing, which we've experienced on Sundays, we've done some of these together as a body, is it doesn't have to just be a four-day thing. A lot of the concepts and tools and the truths, they come into everyday life. I was sharing one of the tools this last week with somebody completely not in a debriefing environment, but more, this is where you're at, this is really hard, let's take a look at this. And so it really is discipleship tools to help each other to walk and for Jesus to bind up our brokenheartedness as we walk with him. That's the goal. So really, really enjoyed being with you guys this weekend in that. It was a joy. And the Lord is sending all sorts of stuff, and it's better to have a problem where you're like, Lord, we have no idea how to handle all of this. And if there's people that are coming that need it, we're going to trust you to walk forward. But we can't do it in our own strength. I know that for sure. And so we'll trust him as we move forward with planning more debriefings, having people sit in more debriefings, and just try to be God's hands and feet to those that are hurting in that way. So the last thing I wanted to do before jumping in, there's quite a bit here, is give a chance just to do a quick introduction for Joel and Alyssa Freeman. So if you guys wanted to come up, just give a quick introduction. They wanted to introduce themselves. So Joel and Alyssa, well, Joel is Molly and Scott's son. A lot of you guys know him growing up, and we're hoping that a lot of more of us can get to know him and Alyssa and their daughter Sheraton. This fall, they're going to be transitioning from living in Greeley to moving towards Loveland, God willing, and jumping in with us. And really with a heart to serve, a heart to minister, a heart to say, how can we be a blessing here in this, not just this community, but the community of Loveland, bringing their hearts for the gospel and for good. And so we just wanted to have a quick time just for them to introduce themselves, a chance for them to be known. And like I mentioned earlier, if you didn't hear me, after today, if you're free and you want to informally, we're going to be over at Namaqua Park. I think they're planning to be there too. If you want to catch up, get to know them some more. Bring your own lunch, hang out. If you want to see how to throw a frisbee amazingly, Joel can talk you through some of that. So they're going to introduce themselves and share what's on their heart as they're planning these things over the next 6 months.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, I'm Joel. This is Alyssa. Yeah, I was born in Kansas City. We moved when I was pretty young in 01 to Loveland. And so most of my childhood memories were here in this town. We were a part of Summit View Loveland way back in my day. Don't have a ton of memories there, but then we were a part of Summit View Fort Collins. And so I know some of you guys were kind of plugged in those eras, if you will, and familiar with some of that. Went to college at UNC in Greeley. So moved to Greeley at that point. And that's kind of been my home base ever since. And I never did super well in school. It's kind of a story in and of itself. But as school was kind of taking a little bit of a nosedive, this disc golf thing started to happen in my life. It started as a hobby and then eventually turned into a career. But before I get too much into that, I just wanted to give Alyssa a chance to share a little bit about. It was kind of in late 2017 where our paths crossed. So.
Yeah, so I grew up on a farm in Kersey, Colorado. I'm one of seven kids. When I was after high school, I started a flower business and grew flowers on my parents' farm and did weddings and sold bouquets at markets and stuff. Joel and I met in Greeley and got married over a year later, whatever it was. He actually jumped in and worked on the flowers farm with me for a year to see if that's what we wanted to do together, and it didn't feel right. And he had been doing disc golf and really started ramping that up about when we met. And he was like, I really like for you to come on the road with me and kind of experience that part of my life and like, I miss it. I don't want to like call it quits yet. So we went on the road and started traveling together. I think we traveled for 3 years straight, just the two of us. And then the last 2 years, it's been off and on with our little girl. But yeah, we also jumped in on a disc golf ministry called Eagle's Wings. Joel actually was like one of the first people to really be a part of that. They do a lot of different things, but one of their initiatives is what they call the tour ministry, which is ministering to Christians who travel on the disc golf pro tour, just like Joel and I were doing. Yeah, so he kind of jumped in when it was very small, and they put on chapel services at all of the big tournaments for the players. And sometimes it was just Joel and another guy and the guy who was speaking, and that was it. But yeah, and then in 2021, Joel and I started a Bible study for the touring players who are believers. And that's just kind of grown and grown. And now we have other people who are leading worship for the chapels and leading the Bible study. And yeah, now we have 30, 40, 50, sometimes 100 people come to chapels. And we have a thriving community of probably like 30-ish people in and out coming to the Bible studies and connecting and just being in discipleship with each other. And yeah, it's been a really, really cool thing to watch. So
yeah, it's ironic that I went on to pursue a career as a professional athlete, because we were never like a big sports family. We're more of like the art family growing up, me and my four siblings. But yeah, incredible to see, to watch God work within the Eagle's Wings ministry. You know, it started as this idea that, oh, well, if most of the players are, you know, traveling around, not only are we moving from city to city, and it's kind of tough to stumble in on a random church service, you're not quite sure what you're stepping into and that kind of thing, but also we're competing on Sundays, right? And so kind of a hope to build some sort of church within that kind of touring group, and just watching it go from, you know, first few years it was like, oh, we got 8 people, like, that's incredible, what a turnout, to then one time we got 30 people, whoa, you know. And then yeah, once or twice a year nowadays, last few years, you know, we'll have over 100 people once or twice a year. And not that, you know, not that volume, not that numbers is everything, but it does tell a heck of a story, and just an amazing thing to be a part of. So all that said, kind of bringing us to now, COVID was, from just kind of a monetary standpoint, really positive for disc golf. A lot of people, you know, were encouraged to spend more time outdoors, spent their stimulus package money from the government on their hobbies and such. And so up until that point, you know, I had done better and better financially each year as a, you know, as a professional disc golfer. And then there was this whole like recoil thing that happened after COVID, where the whole balloon popped, so to speak. And suddenly none of the players were getting paid, with the exception of just a few of the tippy top, you know, 5 best players in the world or whatever. All that to say, it got really tough and, forced us to kind of begin to ask, like, well, Lord, we always knew this thing, this strange lifestyle that we've been living would come to an end. This could be it, you know? And so we began to just explore other options. And, that's where Pat approached me and, started brainstorming with me about, what's important to you? What kind of ways you want to be spending your time and whatnot? And, yeah. And so without going into too much detail beyond all that, that was the beginning, you know, just a handful of months ago, the beginning of us exploring what it would look like for us to get plugged in. And so thank you guys for giving us a few minutes to just tell you a little bit about ourselves and where we came from and kind of some context. But we are privileged and honored to be plugged in. I think the piece of Beggar's Gate and us that aligns extremely well is, I mean, very much of what we were just going over with the debriefing event that happened this last weekend is just this passion for getting below the surface, of what it is to follow Jesus, and not just spending time together because it's pleasant, but actually exploring, okay, what actually does it mean to get to the heart, to get to the heart of things, or to watch Jesus heal people in a very real way. And so those are just a brief glimpse into some of the stuff that means a lot to us. Like I said, we're privileged and honored to be plugging in here, and looking forward to building relationships, shaking more hands, and getting to know you guys. So thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Yeah. And so you guys are due in October, right? With baby number two. So they're going to be here for just a couple more weeks, and then they head out back on the tour for a couple months.
7 weeks.
Yeah. And two months-ish. Yeah. We'll disappear and then, come.
And then they'll be back
September.
Yeah. Have a baby, Lord willing. And then through that period of time, begin to say, what does it look like to move into Loveland from Greeley? And so all sorts of details, as you can imagine, with house and with children and with tour. I just open it up for real quick if there's anybody that has questions or thoughts, kind of things that are on their heart that they'd like to know more about.
Yeah, by all means. That's good stuff. It will be spotty, kind of our involvement or attendance or whatever, until the turn of the year-ish or something like that. So just in case anybody's wondering, like, well, they said they were, going to be coming around, and where are they? So
there's some good context.
I think in some capacity they've been, so gracious and just, I don't know, really, how do I say, like, they believe in us and have enjoyed us being a part of the ministry, which has been so honoring. And all that is to say, Alyssa briefly mentioned they do have, I don't need to go into the full picture, but they have kind of four pillars of what their organization does. Some of it's overseas ministry. One pillar is the tour ministry. All that is to say, there are still ways for us to kind of be involved. And so that's part of what we're kind of game planning for right now in the day-to-day, is like, how can I kind of leverage my experience and expertise and connections in the world of disc golf and kind of bring that here to Loveland or integrate it in whatever I'll be doing as we plug in more with Beggar's Gate or what have you. So I imagine to some capacity, our connection to Eagle's Wings will be ongoing.
I just appreciate your guys' faith. I do. There's a lot of unknowns.
It's a non-negotiable.
There's just a lot of unknowns. And
is it faith or naivety?
Hey.
Oh, that's up for debate. My favorite course in the area is probably Oxbow. It's in Windsor. We don't have a lot of great courses here, to be honest.
Hate to break it to you, but
there are some courses with a lot of character, like some cool courses, as you could imagine, in the mountains. But they're not particularly. The views are great. The golf is not great, if that makes sense.
If you want to kind of learn more about, he's got a whole YouTube, Wholehearted. If you kind of want to see what he does on tour, he's got all sorts of fans all over the world and in this room as well. So it's been fun. We got a chance to see him play down in Pueblo, and he crushed it. He did really well, won the tournament. And so we're really excited, and just trusting God for this next season. Excited to be with you guys. So if you guys want to spend some time, we'll be at Namaqua Park afterwards and getting a chance to hang out.
And for any of you guys who have like landscaping and construction experience, if we all join forces, we can turn this small area into one of the best courses in Northern Colorado, probably.
You heard it here first. All right. Well, with the little bit of time we have left, what I wanted to do is just give you an opportunity this morning to consider, as we're talking about being a disciple and walking in discipleship. Pat shared a definition as we're looking at this idea of Paul handing off to Timothy this faith and what was involved in all of that. Right there, you just see an arrow. Paul would probably look at that and go, that's my lifeblood, that's my sweat, that's my sleepless nights. That's so much. To just have a name under an arrow is no small thing. And what I wanted to do this morning is just with a few passages, we talked through this, Pat, throughout this definition of discipleship, and it wasn't vetted. There was one thing that needed to be changed, in my opinion. So he said it was a lifelong walk. But some might say it's a lifelong run. So it could be a walk run. Have you ever seen the people that are professional walkers? There's a lot of hip movement in that kind of walking. So we'll call it a lifelong walk run. A lifelong walk run with a person who died that we may live, who invites us to be trained to cooperate joyfully with his rule and reign, which I think is a great definition of what is this process that we're invited into, and that is that something that you've mentally said, I want to do that. I'm not just going to hope that that happens with my life. I'm going to move towards that intentionally. I'm going to think about how I can do that more. And so what I'd like to do is, just with the time we have, look through all of this, is to consider to make those decisions. I'm pretty sure at some point your mind, your heart, will go through some sort of calculation of what is the cost of this and what is the reward of this. You will do a cost-benefit analysis of what does it look like to live a lifelong walk-run with this person who calls me into his kingdom. And if we're honest, where we tend to probably start to get weary, where we tend to start to lose hope, where we start to tend to say, I don't know, is that really worth it? Even that statement, is that even worth it? Is we're doing this balancing of what is the reward for what I am venturing into. And so reward is not inherently evil. Jesus appeals to reward. And I just wanted to share just a few passages in the Gospels. I'm not even going to say a whole lot. All I would like for us to do is, just with a posture of prayer, say, Lord, what is the cost of this? And what is the reward of this? Is there something there for us to just try to calmly, wisely, peacefully hear our Savior's words and say, do I understand the cost of what Jesus is offering? Do I understand the reward of what he's offering? And is there something there that for in faith for me to attach to? Because it's not just do hard things for the sake of hard things. We could find all sorts of crazy things that people do just to find hard things to do hard things. There's a point to discipleship. There's a reward to it. There is a goal towards it. And I just like to just see if the Spirit would want to speak to any of us individually, us as a body together. I'm going to not go through these just for time's sake. But Pat already brought this up this morning, this idea in 2 Timothy 2, to Paul's appeal to Timothy for that arrow to be completed, for that process to work itself out in other people. Paul's appeal, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. What's the cost there for Timothy? What's it going to cost Timothy? What is Timothy's reward? No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. So there's this whole appeal to living a life, not just to try to do random things, to try to find random good things. Random good things can be fine. But for the course of your life, to say, what am I endeavoring in? What will it cost me to think like an investor? Ultimately, Jesus is inviting you to think like an investor with your life, with your money, with your relationships, with your time, with what you'll care about, with what you'll do, with what you won't do. So I just want to share a few of these. I'm just going to read them slowly and pause. I just invite you, if you'd like, if it'd be helpful, to close your eyes, open your hands. I would like for us to just ask the question, did a real human being who really was the divine Son of God say these words? Is this really true? And if so, what does that mean for our lives? If this is just an idea and a concept and a principle, maybe I could do it, maybe not. If the Son of God said these things, literally, and it's true for your life and for my life, what will that mean? What is the cost? What is the reward? So however it'd be best to just position yourself, posture yourself, just to hear. And my encouragement is just, what does Jesus have for you to listen to in these words? After a long time, the master of those servants came, settled accounts with them, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Lord, what is the cost there? What are you calling us to? What is your reward that you offer to us? Jesus said, Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. What is the cost there? What is God's reward? Last one. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Just thank you, Jesus, that this is your true heart. These are your words. You've made it very clear and plain to us. What is it that you're calling us to give up? You've made it very clear and plain what it will cost us. There's no hidden things that we have to maybe try to find out about. And you've also made it very plain and clear what a generous, gracious reward awaits us. I pray in those verses that you would just speak to our hearts in all the hard, challenging things that each one of us is going through individually. What you're calling us to is not to just endless pain and suffering to follow you. Would you speak whatever you'd like to speak there in all those hard places of choosing to say yes to you? I just was struck this week as I found this picture and was just meditating, reflecting on it. And I was asking myself the question, do I really believe there will be a real moment where a real risen Son of Man will have the opportunity to look at me and to actually say these real words to me? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That's not like a fun Disney fairy tale, wouldn't that be fun kind of setup. Jesus, the Son of God, has said, this is what I will say to those people that invest their life, that give their lives in all of what that looks like, into this process of coming under my rule and reign. Do you really believe that there is a risen Son of God waiting for you to potentially embrace you with these words? How could that motivate? How could that give hope? How could that bring faith in all the hard things? How could I love, serve, walk with God today? And what I just wanted to finish with was, what was Jesus' cost? And what was Jesus' reward? As we get burdened by the challenges of following Jesus in this broken world, in this world that's turned upside down, if you're consistently burdened with how hard that is, could I encourage you to lift your eyes onto him? Lift your eyes onto what he endured, what he went through. Look to him in his suffering. What was his cost? He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. The glorious Son of God, forever at the Father's right hand, became human, came in the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. Not only that, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Every story you hear about the gods coming to humanity, it becomes them and their giant, you know, comfort and their giant accolades and everybody coming to them. Of all the people that would have had the right to say, everybody should come visit me. Like, I've got a palace where people can line up to visit me. Jesus had that right, but he did not use it. He became obedient to the point of death, and death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is living in his reward of saying yes to the Father. He said yes perfectly every time. We will not. But that's our direction, is to say yes to you, Jesus. And you've shown us the way as our brother. This is what it looks like to say yes. And often people won't even understand that yes. Often that yes comes through a lot of suffering and misunderstandings and accusations. But I say yes to you, Father. I say yes to you, Jesus. And at the other side of that, he has entered his Father's glory. He's entered his Father's joy. He's entered into that communion of full redemption of the plan that they had before the creation of the world. Could that great narrative fill us when we think about the challenges of discipleship this week, this day, helping our kids see his plan today? There's a real person with real scars, a real risen Son of Man, who potentially and wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. That, to me, is the glory of discipleship, is Jesus is calling us in to enter his joy. It will cost, but just a momentary thing. Every investor who loses a little bit of money to invest into something, I'm pretty sure they don't cry every time. Every month they're going, I threw another $100 away. Why did I do that? Where's my $100 that I just... They are looking forward in hope. This is going to grow into something more. This is going to grow into something better. That our lives would not be a constant pain of the loss. There is loss. It is hard. It is a cost. But that we would look at it with a lens that says, this can become so much more in God's hands. So that's the heart of discipleship. If we can keep that in front of us, the eternal reality is not just for us to try to do hard things for the sake of hard things. And between Paul and Timothy, that little arrow to say a life was passed on comes through much cost. It will cost you. Jesus doesn't lower the bar so that more people can go over it. He actually raises the bar so that we have to surrender all that we have for him to carry us through. And so that's his heart for us, to give us much reward. So let's pray. Jesus, I just pray that you would make that clear for each of us in our minds of what we're losing and what we're gaining. All the accolades or fame or whatever it is that we were thinking we could have in this life, it will one day pass away. And you've been so kind and loving as to let us know that as we say yes to you, that we are investing in that which is truly life. We are giving ourselves to that will really bless our souls. We will not regret any step taken in faith, committed to you in 1,000 years. We will look back and go, why couldn't I have given more in faith of my life? So just pray that you'd give us eternal vision, eternal sight. Thank you that there is reward in this life, partially. Thank you for the full reward that you've promised to us. And I just tell you, Lord, I want to hear those words. I work, I live, I think about your embrace to enter your joy as you call us in as your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I think we need to thank Fred and Penny from West Lafayette for some amazing spread of cookies out there. And so they traveled for the debriefing training. They've been awesome. pastoring a church there at Purdue University. So all that stuff, you guys want it to go, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So eat to your heart's delight. Yep. All right. Have a good Sunday.